Turn it on, Matt. Yeah. Too hot.
Let somebody know. And but I don't think it's too hot. Praise God, but it is warmer in here and outside. God bless you all. Let's just bow our heads, and if you have a need, just lift your hand as a request before the Lord this morning. Praise God. God bless you. There's so many needs, and we want to pray for the McKinstry family and other families this morning, and for God's comfort. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise, and we can say this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. Father, we love you because you first loved us. We thank you for the atonement of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we are the ransomed of the Lord, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Father, we plead the merits of that precious blood on our lives afresh, on our families afresh, on our children afresh, on each one in this house afresh, all that's near and dear to us, we plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask for every hand raised. You know every single need. Lord, I pray you'll meet every single need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, I pray for the McKinstry family at this time and all the surrounding family. Strengthen them, comfort them at this time of bereavement. Lord, for the Walker family and other family, Lord, strengthen this time of bereavement. And Father, we think again of that young man that was taken out, Lord, and murdered. Charlie Kirk, we pray for his whole family, and we pray, God, that there'll be a continuing impact for good in the name of Jesus Christ, that people get saved, that they'll come to know the Lord. And Father, you promised when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against them. Let there be a mighty standard raised, I pray. And Lord, I'm asking you this morning, I know this is a word from you this morning, and I pray you'll help me, give me the wisdom, the guidance. Speak to people in this room. And Lord, for those that maybe not here that should have been here, speak to them. For those that would like to be here but can't come, touch them and heal them and minister to them. Bless Eiling this morning and touch her, Lord. Cover with your blood. Let your Holy Spirit come all over. And from Sister Andrea, touch her. Bring the perfect strength and health in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak and restore the backslidden, I pray, and refresh and touch and guide your own people this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God bless each one this morning. You know, Sam McKinstry's passed away, 69 years of age. And then there's a young fellow, Walker. Some of you might know him, but JP, and he was a bad lad, let me just say that. But I witnessed him, and I worked with him, and I told him we needed to get saved, and I preached him for days, because he worked with us for quite a time. And he was hit with a car down the south somewhere, and so, you know, I'm not going to go into anything he did that's not really important now, but I'll tell you, their brother preached, Gary, a while back, where the tree falls. And sometimes people set out in a certain pathway and they stay on it when they need to come off it. Choices, that's what I want to preach about. Now, I wasn't for preaching this, and last week I should have preached it and I didn't preach it. I had no notes or scriptures or anything last week. I hadn't prepared to preach on it. But I should have preached on it last week. And I didn't feel that I preached very well last week. And that I didn't do well. But that could be my imagination. Don't worry about that. I'm just saying that. But I'll tell you. yesterday I went in to prepare for this morning, and I studied and this and that and everything, and read this and that and looked at everything, and I ended up going to bed with nothing. And I got back up this morning again, and the wife says to me, "You're going to preach in choices." I says, "It looks like I'm going to have to, because I can't get away from it." And then that's what I believe God wants me to preach on. And this is for somebody. I'm convinced there's people in this meeting, and you're going to have choices to make. Now, the Holy Spirit might reveal it even more. He could reveal it right down. But I'm not going to try and do anything myself. It has to be God. But I'm going to just share with you what I feel God's put in my heart. And I've had no time to prepare for this. This is pretty quick, putting together a couple of scriptures and thoughts. But I feel it's for somebody. And it might be 10 minutes, and it might be an hour. I don't know how long it'll be. That's not important either. The important thing is that the Holy Spirit's talking to somebody. I want you to respond. I want you to get it. Let's read, and I'm starting out from a testimony. And I want to say at the very start of this service, I'm reading this scripture from my own testimony, Isaiah 1, verse 18 to 20. And I want to say, first of all, what you're willing to walk away from. What you're willing, you can write this down. What you're willing to walk away from will determine your future. I'm going to say it again. What you're willing to walk away from can determine your future. Now, this scripture I'm reading is very close to me, because the voice spoke to me audibly, this scripture. And it didn't just speak it once, Brother Larry, but the voice kept repeating this scripture. I was waking out of my sleep. I turned to serve the Lord, but I was in a real conundrum with the people I was chumming with the road I was going. I was going to have to make choices, and there were things I was going to have to walk away from. And this is the scripture the Lord gave me. And I'd never read it at that point. And the voice kept saying, Isaiah 1, verse 18. And I had to get out of bed and get a Bible and read it in the front room of my mom's house in Maypole Park. Here it is. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." And I tell you, God brought me to a point in my life. I was chumming with the wrong people. I was walking the wrong road, doing the wrong things. I was at enmity with my dad, with the family. I was away from home. They didn't know if they'd see me again or not. That's just the way it was. But God spoke to me to depart from the people I was with. I had to walk away from them. I had to change the company I was with. I had to make a choice. And the walking away from that company determined my future. Because it says here, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you refuse and you rebel, you'll be cut off with a sword. But the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Two of those men, which I had to walk away from, are both dead. There's more than two of them dead. One of them was shot. Another one died with cancer. But they're gone. And I had to walk away from them. I remember there was more than two, but two in particular come over the hill in Maypole Park on a motorbike. And I owed them money. And I gave them the money. And I said, "Boys, I'll not be going with you again. I've got saved. I've got born again. I'm following the Lord. I'll never be back." And the one big fella shook my hand and he says, "Tommy, I wished I could do it. You're doing the right thing." And the other fella laughed. I met another one in Bond Bridge Court. He was a bad boy. far worse than you could ever imagine. And I told him, I've got saved, I'm serving the Lord, and he just looked at me and laughed. And I walked away. Now, I'm not going to go down the road of things I walked away from in detail. That's not important. I'm not here to glorify the devil, but I'm here to glorify the Lord Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit that gave me the power, if you like, or the determination to walk away from it. And some people are afraid to walk away from a school friend, or it could be an older friend. They're afraid. But what you walk away from can determine your future. If I hadn't walked away when I did, what would my future have been? I don't believe I'd have been here. I am convinced I wouldn't be here. Now you could say I don't believe that, that's fine. But for me, I'm convinced God would had already told me, I'll take you away if you don't do what I've called you to do. Now you might say, I don't think God works like that. Well, I believe that's what he told me. What are we willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to us. And I tell you, there I was in jail. I thought I had no friends. And I got my eyes opened. The people that I thought was my friends never came near me. They weren't my friends. But I had a friend that loved me in the Lord Jesus that said, I'll never leave. You see, Christians today are so worried about friends and so worried about this and that. But we need to come to the relationship in Christ where we're actually in love with the Lord. And when we're really in love with the Lord, we won't be worried about anything else. Nothing else will matter. Because when we're walking with the Lord and we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll lead us in our future. Amen. What does your future, you know, it might be a price of giving up something in the present. And I tell you, I had to give up some things then. Now understand me. You might look at it and you might think, well, this great job you did, and sure, what about it? But you have to understand, you weren't in my shoes. Somebody could be finding it difficult to give up something that they know they need to give up. Are you hearing me now? Someone that they know they need to give up, but they could be finding it really difficult. Nobody might know about it, but the Lord sees everything. And you say, it was difficult for me. And I was thinking, what will they say, and what will they say, and all them things. And I wasn't moving in Christian circles then, and with the people then that I'm with now. I didn't know a lot of them people then. But I had to make the right choice and walk away. And that determined my future. Now, I'm not wealthy this morning or anything like that, but God's promised me I'll eat the good of the land. And I'll tell you, I'm all right. I'm content with what I've got. A lovely wife, a lovely family. I prayed my son would get married, and he's got married. Now, some of you this morning, let me just deal with this for a moment. Don't think, you know, things are not just this and that. You need to be content sometimes with your lot. Because you could be a lot worse than you realize. That's the truth. You have a roof, a family, people that love you and you love them. And the Bible talks about being content with what we've got. Now, when is it time to walk away? We make decisions all the time, and while they don't always feel significant, one decision could change the trajectory of our whole lifetime. And you know that's the truth. And I made a decision in 1989, and it changed my whole trajectory of my life. And I can remember coming down the hill in Maypole past the week chapel, and the voice said, look up. and all the airplane tracks in the skies, brother, early in the morning. And the Lord saying, you will travel to different parts of the world to preach the gospel. This is the same fella that was in High Bank Jail, Crumlin Road Jail. It's chumming with fellas and doing things. Now I'm walking down the hill and the voice is saying to me, you're going to travel in planes and preach. And I'm saying, Tommy McKinstry, you are talking to yourself again. You're talking to yourself. And the devil trying to convince me as mad, talking to myself. But it's all happened. It has happened. Now, I'm not saying I've traveled loads of times around the world, but I have definitely traveled a lot. And God's done what he said. He's done what he said. Right to the far ends of the earth, 5 or 6 times. God's done it. And I haven't seen as much as I want to see, but I've seen a lot more than I would have seen if I hadn't have made the choice. And your choice this morning, you understand what I'm trying to get over? Your choice might seem insignificant. Your choice might seem a small choice, but a small choice can have a massive impact. A young man, God can move in a young man, and he could make a small choice to determine to serve God, and that one young man could have an impact on a nation. Now that young fella, Charlie Kirk, even though he's been murdered, it'll have more an impact even now than he had before. And people's watching his stuff now that never even watched it before. And people in fitness industry and all sorts of places where maybe others couldn't reach, they've been reached. Everything God does is for a reason and a purpose. We can never fully understand it, and the secret things belong to the Lord. Always remember that. Everything can't be explained because the secret things belong to the Lord. Look at Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth in Ruth chapter 1. You could read from verse 4 right up verse 11 to 14. And Naomi and Ruth, it's a wonderful story. Ruth was widowed. And everything but Ruth was determined to walk away from something. She was determined. Ruth was. She was determined. Ruth walked away as a widow, but later became the wife of Boaz, a very wealthy man, kinsman redeemer. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole thing about Ruth and preach a sermon on it. That's a separate subject. I'm just giving it as a Bible example. She was willing to walk away as a widow with nothing, and yet God blessed her. He blessed her. And he brought her back in the right lineage, the right person, everything, and she was blessed. And Boaz bought back all the land, he redeemed it all. He redeemed back everything that she had lost. He bought it all back. And I tell you, it's not like us when we made the choice of the Lord Jesus. We were redeemed back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, maybe the devil will try and tell you lost this and you lost that. You will lose nothing. You will gain. You will gain. You might think you're walking away from a loss, but you're going to gain. Your choice today determines your future. It's the same as somebody that's not saved. Their choice will determine their future. If they don't get saved, they can't go to heaven. If they get saved by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be in heaven. It's not important. It's so important. So important. When we hear of someone that's went on, that they passed on. And there's two men we've heard of this morning. One a relation of her own, and they've passed on suddenly. It's been sudden, unexpected. And I don't know the spiritual condition. Well, for one young man, it didn't look good. For other man, I don't know. But you see, some people's no time for the gospel. They never make a choice to serve the Lord. They're never willing to walk away to change a future. But I tell you, Ruth was, let me read you this, verse 4. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Verse 11, and Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughter, why will ye go with me? Are there yet not more sons in my womb that they may not be your husbands? Turn again, my daughter, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them for a husband? Nay, my daughter, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth cleaved unto her. And Ruth cleaved with Naomi. She made a choice, and Orpah went her other way. So the one walked away, and the other made the choice to stay. But Ruth's choice became the right choice, because it was the leading of the Lord. And you have to make sure you're making the right choice. It's the leading of the Lord. And let me tell you one thing. God will never go against His word. God's word is God's will. It's like a young man looking for a wife. If you are saved, if you're saved, you cannot be looking for an unbeliever. You're wasting your time. The Bible tells you not to do it. And there's no point you going to the place where there's full unbelievers. You need to look for a believer. And then I'm going to go further. If you've Pentecostal experience and you're that type of a person, that you're wanting the fullness of God, the Pentecostal fullness, you want to have someone that believes for that as well. Someone that wants to choose that. And that's the way you need to go. And the Bible warns that what fellowship of light or darkness. And you see, in this life, it's hard sometimes. Because you could think, I'm real good friends, but maybe they're pulling you away from the things of God. Maybe they're taking you somewhere for the Lord's not happy with you going there. It doesn't mean you're not saved. But it means that you still maybe shouldn't be there. And you need to know that you're going the right places, and you have to separate. And I believe the Holy Spirit's been talking to us about that from when our brother Gary preached the other week, and when I went to a meeting and a man giving us a testimony, God said at variance, the father, the mother, and so forth. There's a separation. And we have to separate. Now I'll tell you, we have to make choices. Now, you think for a moment, I'm in Czechoslovakia, brother. I've given all the missions, and with all the money I've got, I've nothing left. And I'm stranded in a sense. And the presence of God, and that same presence that came in the jail, visits me. And the voice audibly speaks again. And the voice says, you will not go into Russia. But when they go, they'll be arrested and they'll be in trouble. Now, what are you going to do with that? So I come down the next morning and I announce it. Here, I'm not going with you to Russia. Well, I'll tell you what, they didn't want to hear that. They were convinced they're in the perfect will of God. They were convinced they're doing God's perfect will and plan. They're smuggling Bibles into Russia. How can it not be God's will? Look at it for a moment. But yet the Lord forbid me to go. And what do you do with that? You're going to have to make a choice. And I made the choice to obey that voice. And then the voice says, I'll separate you from this work till another that I'll show you. And I had to make a choice. And I never went. And there they were round a table. In Czechoslovakia it was. Round a table, Brother Simon. And they deliberately never spoke a word in English. Because they were talking about me. I was the center of their conversation. And the Holy Spirit let me know every single word they spoke. And God convicted me this morning. Now, that's not the truth. That's absolutely the truth. And I knew everything they said. And I'll tell you what they said. They said I was useless. That I was going to lie about the house while these wonderful masonries smuggled Bibles into Russia. Now, you can see it your own self. That's what it looked like, didn't it? This fella doesn't want to go. He wants to stay here. And these wonderful masonries are going off. And one of them wanted to do a bit of boxing as well with a fist. When I told him I couldn't go. But I never went. I made the choice. I walked away from it. I walked away from it. And they went on. And they were arrested. And the vehicle blew up. And the tires punctured on it. And the Bibles were taken off them. And they got in trouble. And I stayed for a while and I told one of the people, I'm leaving this house, this apartment, and I'm brushing the dust of my feet tonight. I'm really taking it like the Bible. If you're not received, when you go into a place when the Lord sends you, brush it off your feet. And I tell you, they were cross. Because they said you couldn't know one word was spoken because none of it was in English. And they got so cross, they said, right, tell me what was said. And when I told them all of it, they fell down and wept. They fell and wept. Then I was taken to one old woman's home to visit her and led her to the Lord. Then I went to another woman's home and I was told, don't be preaching to her. I said, I'll try my best not to. And I led her to the Lord. And every single house I went to from that time, somebody got saved. Now, I didn't know any of that was going to happen, but choices. And you might think, you know, it's God, it has to be God's will for me to go here or go there. It absolutely has to be God's will, but it might not be. It might look like it, but you have to know if it is or not. Now, I know God, that won't happen to everybody, what happened to me like that. And I have at times in my life tried love to say, Lord, you see the way you came to me in the jail and Czechoslovakia, could you do that? It might never happen again. I don't know, that's God's choice. You see, William Branham said this. He said, I have nothing to do with his coming. I was only there when he came. It's God's choice. But then he gives us choices. Ruth went with Naomi. And you know the whole story, how that God blessed her. She made the right choice. What about the widow woman in 2 Kings 17? The widow woman refused to cook her last meal so that God's prophet could have someone to eat. She made a choice. She said, I can cook the last meal and me and my son will die. And in Kings 17, verse 10 to 16, and you can read through it, she refused to cook her own last meal for herself. But she gave it to God's prophet. And look what happened when she made that choice. She was blessed. What she did determined her future. Are you seeing that? The choice she made here seemed wrong, but it was right. She made a choice, it's my last meal. All right, we'll give it to you. And she gave it to the prophet of God. And then God blessed her barley meal and her oil, and it never ran out. And she had no more an empty barrel, an empty meal. She had the abundance of supply from nothing, because she made the right choice. And the Bible says this morning, bring your tithes into the storehouse. Prove me now, saith the Lord, it's a choice. People's asked me before, should I tithe? That's your choice. But the Bible says to tithe, that's a tenth of whatever you earn. It's God's. And you bring it into the storehouse. And God says he'll bless you. I'm not saying I'll bless you. God said he'll bless you. God will bless you. But the Bible talks about people robbing God. That's a man that has £1,000 and he gives God 10 instead of 100. That's robbing God. That's robbing God of the tithe. And it's the same. You could spiritualize it into time. And I'm not here to preach, to tell you, so you're going to give me money. That's not what it's about. But if you want to give me something, God bless you while you're on it. But God will bless you. God will bless you. My father said to me someone years ago, he said, if God tells you to give something to somebody and they burn it, God will still bless you because you made the choice what God told you to do. Now, hopefully they wouldn't burn it, but you understand what I'm saying? This widow woman gave all she had. She gave all she had, didn't she? Her and the wee lad was about to cook a last meal and then die. There was a famine in the land, remember? But then I want you to also remember, when there's a famine in the land, there's never a famine with God. There's never a famine with God. When people say it's the wrong season, to build because we're in a financial dearth, that's the time God can do it. It's all down to choices. This widow woman made the right choice. Let me read you this. From verse 10 of 1 Kings 17, so he arose and went to Zarephath, that's Elijah. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And you could preach across from these two sticks, but I haven't time this morning. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, a barrel. I tell you, this people wouldn't give nothing. But here's a woman give everything. This is like the wee woman, the widow woman, that the Lord talks about. She gave her last mite. Amen? I know people this morning on what they could do for God, but they're too greedy to do it. They're millionaires, multi-millionaires. They have that many vehicles and stuff, they can't drive them all. And they're parked, there's no miles on them. But they never do it for God, but they do it for the devil. If it was some sports arena, you hear me? If it was some sports arena, they'd near build it for them for free. But for God's work, no. This woman gave all she had. She went and got it, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in the hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, have not the cake a handful of the meal of the little crews. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's what her brother John prayed the other night. When the angel came, fear not. Amen. I tell you, when God says fear not, you're in the bonus. That's the truth. Someone goods in store. Fear not, go and do as I have said, but make me thereof a cake first, and bring it unto me, and after for thee and for thy son. So he said there, make me cake first. Now he knows and she knows she could not make him a cake first, then make herself one, because she hadn't enough. But by faith, she's making him a cake first. And by faith, she's going to have it go then for herself. But he's a prophet. And if you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. That's the Bible, can't be changed. Believe my prophets and you'll prosper. I tell you, this woman prospered. She believed Elijah and she prospered. Amen. Luke verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God, Israel, the barley meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barley meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So was the word of the Lord by Elijah. And you could go further here, and you know her son dies, and he's raised from the dead. That's the power of God. When we make the right choices, hear me this morning. When we make the right choices, when we walk away from something, it can determine our future, and God can have a blessing for us we don't even know about. God can do that. Samson wouldn't walk away from Delilah. He refused to walk away. And you could read about it in Judges 16, verse 15 to 21. And Delilah, this woman Delilah, he took this woman and he wouldn't walk away from her. And she was she wasn't a good woman. Let's just put it like that. And then she wants to find out where strength is. And he tells her, but he tells her lies. And he tells her about the ropes and the different things. And he gets up and he breaks them and he smashes everybody up because the anointing of God's on him. But eventually, because of Delilah, he tells her all his heart. The strength in his 7 golden locks has never been cut. And Delilah gets it out of him. It's powerful what a woman can do to a man. I'm telling you, young fellas, watch yourselves. I'm telling you. Delilah, there's even famous singers have sung about it. Elvis Presley sings about it. Delilah. And he sings about other ones as well. Old Bible things. It's from the Bible. And Delilah worked, and she worked on him. Huck, you don't really love me. You don't really love me. Oh, I do love you. Yeah, you don't really love me. And eventually he told her strength. And when he went to move as times before, the Bible says he wished not the Spirit of God was gone from him. He made the wrong choice. He should have walked away, but he didn't walk away. Now we know that God still worked it out for good. We know that. And let me say, God, you could go back and see for God put it in his heart. But if we're looking at it for someone for ourselves this morning, it was the wrong choice. And I'm using it for that. And he lost the anointing of God. And I tell you, if we get involved with Delilah spiritually, there's a spiritual Delilah. Are you hearing me? It'll ruin us. But we have the Word. The Word will produce a Word bride. Now, I don't mean that as cliche. That's the Bible truth. Mrs. Jesus Christ. She's part of Him. Amen. Redeemed. Part of Him. Belongs to Him. Praise God. Someone in your presence might have to go. I wrote this down. This is all this morning. This morning. You may have to walk away from someone in order for you to enter into what God has in store for you in the future. You may have to walk away from something. Now you could have a lot of voices telling you don't do it. But you as an individual have to make the choice. A group can't make it for you. Now there's a lot of people's came to me over the years with different advices. And then there's times when God has used people prophetically. And it's been the right advice. I'm not talking about that. God can speak to you prophetically and then you know it's the right advice. But I'm talking about when family members talk to you or me and they think, well, you can't do this or you shouldn't do this or that. But maybe God wants you to do it or vice versa. You can't go on what they're saying. You have to go on what you know from God. You might have to make the right choices. Joseph made the right choice, didn't he? Now, Joseph didn't have it easy. Joseph was loved of his father, just like Jesus. And he wore the coat with many colors. And his brothers were jealous of him. And they were going to kill him. And I know one of them saved him. And he's thrown in a pit. And he was sold for silver, like a type of Christ, Judas Iscariot. And they took his bloodstained jacket back to his dad, told him lies that he was dead and everything, and he sold down into Egypt into bondage. And then you know how God favored him, letting him know the dreams. He knew what the fella dreamed. And then he interpreted it as well. What do you think of that? Not only could he interpret the dream, he could tell him what he dreamed. It's not some gift. And I tell you, Joseph refused Potiphar's wife. He refused. No, I'm sure. I don't know. I wasn't there, but she probably was a very beautiful, lovely woman. Beautiful, lovely woman. Beautiful to look at, but wicked in her heart. And you see, a beautiful woman's a dangerous thing. Can be beautiful to look at, but wicked in her heart. And there's a spiritual woman today that a prophet of God warned about. She's beautiful to look at, but wicked in her heart. Rome! And I tell you, Joseph made the right choice and he walked away from Potiphar's wife. And she got him in trouble. She got him in trouble. It looked all wrong, didn't it? It looked all wrong in the sense the choice he made got him in trouble and it got him in jail. It almost got him killed. He was down there, they were going to do him in. And all them other fellas and everything. But the Lord brought him out. And the Lord promoted him to the head place. And even when the famine came in the land, Joseph had the storehouses full that nobody could eat. And Nessa came to Joseph. Are you hearing me? So God brought him from the bottom and he put him on the top. And the Bible says you'll no longer be the tail, you'll be the head. And you might have to go away from someone and you think you're doing well, but God could have someone far bigger and greater. But you might just see it right away. Joseph didn't. It didn't happen overnight. Joseph went through a hard time for a while, but he still made the right choice. Maybe you've made a choice and you've gone through a hard time and you're wondering if you've made the right choice and gone through a hard time. Stick to it, because the Lord will promote you. God promoted Joseph. And you can read about it in Genesis 39, verse 7 to 20. Having time this morning, choices. I'm almost finished. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. You know, there's things we should never walk away from. I want to tell you, there's things we should never walk away from. Charlie Kirk was not willing to walk away from his faith. And when he was questioned in front of world signatories, and he was in places where we could never go, he confessed his faith in Christ. He confessed Jesus Christ as the way. He wasn't willing to walk away from it. And there's things we cannot walk away from. We can't walk away from them. And the Bible says if we take our hand off the plow, we're not worthy to enter. We must go on with the Lord. We can never walk away from it. And if you believe in a Pentecostal experience as well, don't walk away from it. Believe it. Believe it. Don't compromise it. Believe it. So there's things we can never walk away from, and there's things that we must walk away from. We must walk away from them. Daniel was the same. Daniel was in a position where he could walk away. Daniel could walk away. And Daniel could ask the petition of the king and stop praying. Now, there's a lot of Christians who would be guilty today because they don't do a lot of praying. But we need to be prayers. Amen? How many believe that? Did you know and today many of the pastors and many churches, the prayer meetings are empty? But yet praying is a thing we should never walk away from praying. And Daniel was not willing to walk away from praying. And even though the spying on him, and it was death, a death sentence was on him, he wasn't willing to walk away. His petitions was only asked from the God of Abraham. Amen. Because he was a captive and he knew if you once again you look to this place, you'll hear from heaven. He made the right choice. Didn't look like it, did it, brother? And like your brother said, the king fasted, the lads fasted. And they were told, you're on a fast tonight. Daniel, coming in here. But you fellas are on a fast. And they couldn't touch him. And I tell you, he was in there and they couldn't touch him. And that king was on a fast. And God preserved him because he wouldn't bend the knee. He made a choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were asked to worship the golden image. I preached about it a few weeks ago. They were asked to worship a golden image. And William Branham says it was an image of Daniel the prophet. That's what he said, of a holy man. And, you know, we believe today that William Branham was a prophet of God, but we would never worship him. Would never get down and pray to him. That's a choice we cannot make to do that. And there's people that are extreme today, but they're wrong. And if he was here now, he'd say, I'm just your brother. I point you to Jesus Christ. That's his own words, brother. Isn't that wonderful? That's where you'd point us to. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't going to fall down and worship Daniel. They would only worship the God of Daniel, which is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They made a choice. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But the fourth man came in the midst of the fire. Fourth man. Isn't that wonderful? And I tell you, when you make the right choice, the Lord will be with you. Now you might think the time's going and nothing's happened yet and it hasn't took place yet. Just hold on. You remember when I preached in the tabernacle about the poles? And them poles is upheld with ropes. With ropes. And sometimes we have to hold on to the ropes. And the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. You're holding on, but you're holding on because the Lord's giving you the strength. The blessing's coming. You just need to make the right choice. David was the same. Now you think, and I know the prophet was inspired of God, but let's just tell us exactly the way it is. When the prophet came to pick David, you know he wasn't picking him. Isn't that right? He thought one of the other fellas was it. Because they were big, strong lads. David wasn't even there when he first came. And he says, have you got another son? And he says, aye, but look, he's a wee young fella. And he's out with the sheep there and stuff. And God says to him, you better go and get him. These boys look the part. They look the part. Reinhard Bonnke, he talked about the unanointed professionals. Look the part. But then there's somebody that might look the part, but they think of a God's anointed. And they don't act in ways sometimes that you or me likes, but that'll not change the fact they're God's anointed. Not a wonderful thing. David was chosen of the Lord. And he was the Lord's anointed. David was chosen. Jesse, have you any more sons? He says, oh, there's a wee fella. He's out there with the sheep. He says, we can't rest till you go and get him. And that's the same David. The same David. Now, all Israel was in bondage. They had made a choice. They had made a choice that none of them would face Goliath. They made that choice. And they were in bondage. They made that choice. But David made a different choice. David made the choice he's going to face him. But they didn't even want it. They said, who does he think he is? Who does he really think he is? For the Lord was with him. Choices. Let's stand our feet this morning. I know it's, I trust the Lord's giving somebody something, but I just felt strongly to bring this. And it's not the develop, what I call develop message or whatever, but maybe it doesn't need to be. Maybe it's enough. But it's for you. It's for me. Choices. And maybe because of your faith, you've had to make a choice and you didn't get the blessing you wanted. But maybe God's a greater blessing for you that you haven't even got yet. But you make the right choice anyhow. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed. If you want prayer and you say, brother, pray for me. Just lift your hand to the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. And someone listening in. Now, I want to say this on record. The greatest choice you can ever make in your life is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. That's the greatest and best choice you'll ever make, and you'll have a future blessing, because he's went to prepare a place for you, and he's coming for you. You're going to be going. That's the greatest choice. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. The word of God is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So is the word of the Lord. The heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, not one jot or tittle. Father, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll bless your word to all of our hearts. Pray for the hands that's raised here this morning, that you'll meet every single need. Lord, you know the different people that you're speaking to. And for myself, for my family, help us to make the right choices. Oh, Lord, help us walk away from wrong things and walk into the right thing. Help us, Lord. And we know your word says, if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you shall direct our path. Direct the path of each one in this house. Cover them with your blood and bless everyone. And save all of our children. And those listening in, save and deliver and heal. For I ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Your brother Gary comes. God bless you this morning. And if anyone wants individual prayer, you come up while we're singing, and myself and Brother John will certainly pray for you. But God bless you. God bless you, and make the right choices. Pray for me that I'll make the right choice. God bless you.
Yeah, man, praise God. Well, I enjoyed the word this morning. You know, thinking about it, sometimes you might think when you're young, choices are for older people, but some of the most important choices are the ones you make when you're young. They have the most long lasting effect. That's the truth. They're longer lasting. And I can remember my own self just at a time. I remember I wasn't very old at the time, maybe about 8 years old, maybe. I wasn't very old. I was still living with my mum, so I was younger than 10. But I remember there was a fella I run about with then, and me and him were best mates. And you know, it's very easy just to follow somebody and to go where everybody else is going. But there's this one day, and we were straying a wee bit, maybe far from home. We weren't out of the state yet, but he was looking to go somewhere, to an arcade for to go in the machines. And I didn't want to go, but he was going, and I felt, well, I'll have to go with him, or you know, for otherwise you're going to be left on your own. And I can remember standing, and he went, and I stood there, and I thought if I stand long enough, maybe he'll not, but he went on. He never came back. But I made the decision, I'm not following him, I'm not going. And you know, a little decision like that there, you know, that poor critter, he had a hard enough time, but his mother died when he was in high school. And the time he left school, he was in bad shape, and I met him a couple of years after he left school. His teeth were all black. He had been into smoking, been into drugs, and a while after that, he ended up committing suicide. Just had no guidance, nobody telling him to do right or to do wrong, and made maybe wrong choices. And you know, us young children need guidance. And I also remember in our own fellowship in my teenage years, you know, teenage years are very difficult as well for young people. Honest, you know, it's an awful thing, but especially families with broken homes where the families broke up. You know, that's the thing I really like about Charlie Kirk. He was a big advocate for the family structure. And you know, some families don't turn out too good if there's a dad missing or a mum missing. You know, it can be very difficult. But I remember whenever I was a teenager, I went to live with my dad. And the state where I lived was all Roman Catholics. One of them would want to play you, and I want to beat you up quicker than play with you. But not very far away was St. Patrick. And I had a lot of friends in St. Patrick. My school friends were there. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, it's not very hard for me to walk over. I could walk from Riley Park to St. Patrick. I could do it in 15 or 20 minutes. And I'd go over there and spend evenings there and play and have a bit of company and crack. And I can remember on a band parade one night, and we're singing Under the Bridge with the Bonds. But, you know, there was people there, maybe Christians, and there was some people would sing bad words, as I would call them, bad words. And I was shocked and surprised when I heard them cursing. And shortly after that, I can remember Sunday in church and Billy was preaching. I can't remember what he preached about, but I can remember one thing he said. And he said he was talking about Tommy, that he said to Tommy that he would have to make a choice. And he said that if you were up on a table, he says, and all your friends were on the ground, is it easier for you to pull them up to where you are, or is it easier for them to pull you down? And I felt that God was speaking to me to make that choice not to go. And I didn't go. And it was a bit lonely for the end of my teenage years. But you know, it's all about making choices, and I'm glad. Because, you know, you see the people that went and run with it, flew with the crows, they get shot at, praise God. But, you know, it's not always easy making the right choice. And, you know, sometimes, and you cannot help it, you'll make the wrong choice and you suffer for it. Sometimes you'll suffer for making the right. There's persecution for making the right choices. Even that man, Charlie Kirk, he made the right choices in standing for truth. Because he stood for truth, the enemy wanted to silence him. But praise God. You know what the devil meant for evil, God can make it into good. Only God can do that. God can turn situations around. Praise God. But just pray. Maybe all that we have that song, Matthew, even Matthew's not there. Trust and obey. If you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on his way. I'm not sure that we have that all at all. We could maybe sing that song. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, praise God. So pray, while we sing this here, let us think about the things we've heard. And don't think that you're too old, or don't think that you're too young to make choices, because you're responsible for the choices you make. Praise God. And ask God. The Bible says, and it's a very famous scripture, perhaps on the Old Testament, we know John 3:16. In the New Testament, perhaps the most famous scripture in the Old Testament is, lean not on to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that's very true this morning. Give me, what key is that in, Alva? C, is it? F? Alright, amen. So we'll try and sing this, praise God. And then, if anybody would want prayer, make your way to the front, and the brothers will pray for you, praise God. When we walk with the